Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Welcome. Your very first time. You've been around. How long have you been around us now, Nerida?
Goodness. It would have been 2018 when I first came.
Wow. That's, so you've been around us for ages, and this is your very first time on Dorothy and the Dealer.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I laid out the red carpet just for you.
No, I didn't. I will take it.
Now, as you know, we start Dorothy and the Dealer every time, Nerida, with the person who's on. They're going to share their favourite song at the moment or their go-to song.
Jesus.
Oh, I know. Nothing like being put on the spot, is it?
Favourite song at the moment. I actually really like, you know how good I am with names, though, people.
Yeah.
It's called Dreams, and it was actually one of, like, the American Idol. A girl came on for that, and she sang it, and it's just
It's not the Fleetwood Mac version? No, not that? Okay.
No, I'm sure we can get the link and put it onto the bottom of the podcast. That's probably going to be faster than me trying to remember this
name. Can you sing it?
No, I
didn't
sing it.
Oh, my God. Come on.
No, I just love it because it really talks about how we all have these ideas, these visions and these dreams when we're kids, right? And we all play imagination and we all think that we can be the astronauts, we can be the superstars, we can be everything that it is that we want. And then by the time we're 18, it's kind of bred out of us a little bit.
Right.
And then we hand our power over and we go and do the safe thing.
Right.
And it's about coming back into that space of following your dream and following your love. So, and it's in this beautiful song.
I want to listen to it now.
Yeah, yeah, I'll share it with you.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
There's something to be said about that breeding, don't you think?
Breeding.
Oh, breeding.
Yeah. Well, it is, you're bred.
Absolutely.
You know, they breed it
out of you. Yeah, we lose ourselves through the process of childhood.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are our, you've been working with us for a while. You're our resident expert coach and just all round awesome person. We just, Gabby put up a post yesterday of just listening to you on the phone, like her face when she just listens to you on the phone in awe of you. And
you just have a
great way of communicating with people. I think it's good to share your story, share some of your expertise as well.
Yeah.
So should we start a little bit with, you know, your story, where you've come from, what, you know, who you are a little bit, so that, people can get an idea of who you are.
So my personal development journey started, unsurprisingly, when I lost my hair. So, actually started a little bit before that, but that really solidified it for me.
When was that?
So I lost my hair when I was 19.
And how old are you now?
I turned 40 last year. loving it. And so for me, like, when I lost my hair, it was so clear to me that I couldn't avoid what I had been avoiding anymore. And that was that the relationship that I had, or my perception around the relationship that I had with my dad, was impacting my health.
Right.
And because he was actually living overseas and I was visiting him when it fell out, and I just knew there was a connection there. I just knew it. And so I wanted to start exploring that and understanding why my body was rejecting a part of myself, and took me on a big journey down spirituality, energy healing, all that sort of stuff, and then into mindset, human behavior, NLP, all of that kind of jazz, and then eventually into psychosomatics and mind-body connection and medicine and healing, and here, which is amazing. And, through that 20-odd years, there was lots of little layers that came off and lots of little understandings, and I did get the understanding that my body was rejecting my hair because there was a part of myself that I was rejecting because I had felt rejected in from my dad.
Right.
And so that was manifesting through my body, and but then I couldn't figure out what the antidote was for a while. Eventually I got it, which was, unsurprisingly, acceptance.
So you were having some, you realised you were having some issues with dad.
Yep.
And you saw things, you said, repetitively cycling, and then you saw something kept happening. So you'd get money, you'd lose money, you'd get money, you'd lose money.
100%. And it wasn't just financially. So the financial thing really did my head in. Like, it was really, really frustrating for me because I knew that I had the capacity to earn money. I knew that I had something to give to the world. And the fact that I wasn't able to stabilize my finances was actually impacting my capacity to give.
Right.
And that was doing my head in. That was actually probably one of the most painful parts of it.
That's an important point. It's, the fact that you can't get the cash in or stabilize it means that you can't be effective at helping people.
Well, because the receiving is only, you can only receive to the degree you know that you're capable of giving. And that if you know that you're there and you can't work this part out.
And I was so focused on getting food on the table, paying for rent, paying my bills. And in fact, there was time periods through there that I couldn't do any of that on my own. You know what I mean? So it was survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, how do you give to other people? You can't. So everything that I had was given to my kids and given to just the absolute basics, just getting the basics done. So I got really, really resourceful through that period of time. So that was one of the pain points that I was hitting. The other one was my relationships, really. So the relationship that I had with my kid's dad was tumultuous is a kind word for it. It was very extreme. Mm-hmm. We'd have a lot of passion and a lot of excitement and a lot of adventure, but also a lot of conflict and a lot of control and a lot of degrading one another, right? And
Both extremes.
Yeah. And that's how I was living my life for a long time. It was all or nothing, right? And so I knew it was all a reflection of me. I just didn't know how to shift. And I didn't know what the missing piece was for me in it. And so I wanted to sort those two areas specifically out because they were really impacting everything. And I had met a man who I now live with and love very deeply. And he actually recommended you guys.
Oh.
And he was like, because he saw my financial situation, he's like, get along to Mastermind Money Narrative, Jesus Christ. And so I did. And I attended relationships new about a year later after we had the kid's dad suicided. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of slowed me down a little bit. But again, it was another piece of that same pattern.
Right.
It was another, I could see it. Like, obviously there's a lot of grief and there was a lot of sadness and there was a lot of anger around the experience. But if you zoom up from that, it was like, this is the same pattern still playing out. It was actually after that I was like, enough, I'm doing relationships in you. Because I had gotten to the point before RMI where I was a little bit disheartened around PD, and I was like, I've spent all of this money, all of this
time, all of this energy,
and these fundamental pieces still haven't shifted. What's the point in it?
Yeah.
And I was really at that point where I was ready to just walk away from personal development and just try and sort my own shit out in a different way. And anyway, so I attended relationships in you and worked on my dad. And obviously, I'm not going to talk about what goes on in the room there, but what I will say is I walked out of that room completely clear with my dad, knowing 100% that my dad never left.
Mm.
And he actually has always been proud of me, has always seen me for who I am and has always really appreciated and loved the fact that I'm different to him and that I live my life the way that I do.
Yep.
And they were the things that I always had a story around being judged by him on. And so I had done so much of my life trying to prove myself worthy to my dad, trying to prove myself as good enough or successful enough or routined enough, which, that's not one of my strong points. So I was spending so much energy and so much time unconsciously on this dynamic, right? And it was creating a lot of trauma and a lot of chaos in my life.
Mm. Can I ask quickly about that? I know we're going to talk into a little bit about what some of your areas of expertise, but you've done a lot of work, in terms of a lot of healing work, you've facilitated lots of stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think is the core difference between what you had done before and relationships in you? Like, what was the moment like for you, but what was the core difference between anything else and this? Because that, to me, as much as I know how powerful it is, it's very difficult to put that into words sometimes.
Yeah.
So having other people explain it in their own way might help.
And just so I can add some context as to why we would say that, it's not, first off, it's not to, I'm 10 years older than you, so I know what it was like. You know, I got into my PD journey when I was about 18, 19. Yeah. And I was the same. Yeah. I'd done fucking tons and tons of stuff. So whenever I hear the word spirituality or personal growth, it always ickies me a bit because I think I know there's so much Absolutely.
That's a rabbit hole we can go down.
There's so much. People with the best of intentions, but just shit out there that really gave it a shitty name.
Yeah.
And then, there comes a point where you go, okay, no, here's the fucking real work.
Yeah,
you
know? And this is part of it, right? So for me, like what I had done before, there is absolute validity to it and I got stuff out of it and it can be really beautiful and transformational. Mm. But there is a huge part of the community in that space who are doing that work who are also outsourcing responsibility of their life to that work, right? And so they're not actually grounding in the lessons into reality. Like we're here in this physical form, having this physical experience, and we need to honour that as well. Mm-hmm.
But also that goes deeper, like living in Western society in a system. 100%. You're in the fucking system.
Yeah,
so
you can't escape it. I tried. I tried. Yeah. Definitely. We had 100 acres out with no electricity, nothing, you know, and you need a system. There's no escaping from that.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I think the real fundamental difference for me was that a lot of the other stuff that I was doing wasn't really addressing the core wounding of the child.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that we're all walking around as little people. It's like Ratatouille, you know what I mean? Like we've got our inner child on our shoulders directing our behavior, thinking that we're all consciously choosing our reality.
Yeah.
And it's nonsense. We're not. It's the child within us that is actually doing that. And so to actually reestablish that relationship with the child in a way that child feels seen and loved and heard and appreciated and held.
Mm-hmm.
That I think was the biggest fundamental difference.
Right.
Because it changes what the kid wants to do then, right? Yeah. So instead of trying to convince yourself, which I've done over years and years and years, trying to convince yourself of a new story, it just obliterates the old story.
It just takes it away, right?
Yes.
It's like, because you go into, I mean, I've heard it described in so many ways. Like I've said before, people have labelled it as the work I did was so good, but it was like a Band-Aid covering a wound. Whereas doing this made you realise there wasn't a wound.
There is no wound.
There's no wound, right?
Yeah.
But you've just also described it in a different way. It's like, well, we're out here trying to sort things out. But if you can go to that core of what's actually going on and you can see that little girl, even though your conscious mind is saying she wasn't loved, she was rejected, she was abandoned or whatever, if you can actually go and see that none of that actually happened, that it was a story you made up and was it painful and did it hurt at times? Absolutely, but it wasn't the full truth. And when you can see the full truth in that, everything changes.
Absolutely. And like even just talking about it, like my whole nervous system just goes, oh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like it just takes this weight off and all of the energy and effort that we put into trying to justify our existence is no longer required.
Yeah.
And we can just
be. It takes so much energy to do that.
Yeah.
Freedom.
I think the fact that, you know, people treat the secondary, you know, they treat the ailment and not what the cause was.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you look at what the cause was, you see that there was no cause. Yeah. There actually was no wound. It's
catch 22 in some ways.
But people can get off people, because, you know, I often think, you know, would I want my kids, and here's a fucking big one, but would I want my kids to do PD work? You know, are to stop and you know, look at mom, look at dad, look at the relationship, because without it's a fucking slippery slope.
Yeah.
You know, it's a slippery slope that I was on for 10 or 15 years, where I was like fucking bagging at my parents and thinking they fucked it up and da 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 da. And, you know, really, like it was a slippery fucking slope. And that's because I was getting, you know, I was being told the wrong thing, you know, from good meaning people, but told ultimately
the reason that you're screwed up is because your parents.
It's, which is fucking nonsense. You know, you're screwed up.
Blaming.
Yeah, you're screwed up. You think you're screwed up, but you're not screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that was for me watching that sort of relief of people when you're taking them through the process, you know, and afterwards they go, fucking hell, you know, and they're like, you know, I could have taken all that to the end of my life.
Yeah.
You know, ruining this fucking, and then it's affecting you and your behavior and the behavior of everybody else around you. So it affects your children, and then it becomes a fucking cycle.
As you know, Leela, my daughter has been through RNY now. And the reason that I wanted her and encouraged her to do that is because I wanted her to see how loved she was.
Mm.
Right? We, as parents, we do things and things happen, and, you know, environments happen that, you know, you don't always get your ideal experience as a parent. And even when you try your absolute hardest, shit happens and it gets in the way and whatever. But once you're that parent, you understand that even in those moments, all you want for that kid is for that kid to know how special and precious and loved and they are, you know. But perceptions come in and experiences come in and we stack them up and stack them up and stack them up, and then the child makes a perception of themselves that is less than. And so for me as a parent, I want my kids to have that realization as young as possible that you are fucking perfect, actually. And there's nothing that you could have ever done to make it otherwise. And there's nothing that you can ever do to make it otherwise. So then they can live their life based on that freedom.
So do you know the hardest thing for parents in giving that to their children is that they try to give it to their children without getting it themselves. They say, oh, I want you to get that you're perfect. But no, if I it's too hard for me to get that, because, you know, they have to acknowledge that actually their parents did an okay job. Do you know what I mean? So it's interesting that you say that. I think, you know,
the funny thing is that's the origin of hypercriticism. You know, you're when you're doing that, you're creating hypercriticism. You know, you're becoming a hypocrite. And that's what a hypocrite is. It's hypercriticism of yourself, and you're deflecting your own criticism onto the child. And you're thinking, you know, and the child is looking at you going, you're a fucking hypocrite. What are you talking about? And so you're not actually doing anybody any favors when you're trying to fix them without leading.
Which is a beautiful segue into relationships, right? Because this is what we do in relationships. Our relationship with our child is just another reflection of how we relate to everybody else. And that outsourcing of our responsibility into any relationship is going to create chaos and challenge. And that perception of, like, come on, mate. You're not even doing it and you're telling me to do it. And, it's, you know, there's resentment that's going to come.
So let's talk about that, because I know that this is an area of your great, like, you're really inspired by this. You've put me onto a couple of great people to listen to in this space. But let's talk a little bit about even why you love this area and why you love talking about it so much.
So for me, as I mentioned, you know, my relationship with the kid's dad was very tumultuous, and I spent most of that relationship going, if you just sort your shit out, then we would be fine. I'll give you whatever money you need. Like, just you sort your shit out. I'm completely fine. I ain't got nothing to worry about here. I'm fucking an angel, you know.
Nothing
to see here.
So it's always like, it doesn't matter what relationship, everybody's had it where they like, oh, if that person changed, if that person wasn't that way, it'd be fine.
Exactly. And it's so easy to fall into that, right? Super easy, because that's the story that our mind wants to tell us. And so we have to actually be really conscious around pulling ourselves out of that. But so we were in that dynamic, and because he could be at times quite overtly aggressive, I wasn't the bad person because I was underhanded in my aggression. I was very passive aggressive in the way that I was working.
And so that's how you justify it.
I was a good person. And he was not a good person. And so, you know, and it just created this massive division where we destroyed each other. We really did destroy each other. And I watched him crumble. And it was one of the hardest things I think I'll ever do in my life. And it still makes me emotional. And it's a really, really horrible thing to love somebody deeply and for them not to feel it, for them not to be able to feel it. And, you know, I tried so many different things in so many different ways, and I thought I was doing all the right things, and inevitably it disintegrated in a really dramatic way. And I spent the next 5 years as a single person, partly because I didn't trust myself in relationship. I didn't trust that I would not betray my own needs, wants, desires, values, all of it for the connection point, because connection is one of my highest values. And I have betrayed myself in a lot of different ways to receive that connection. And I was so scared of going into that place and losing myself again. And the other point was, is that I never, ever, ever wanted anybody who I loved to ever crumble in front of my eyes ever again. And so I knew that whatever work I did around relationships was going to enhance my parenting with my kids in the meantime, and then actually open myself up to have the type of relationship that I did believe was possible. You just don't see them around very often. But I am an eternal optimist, so that kind of gets me through some of this, the doubt that society brings. And it was interesting because in that time a lot of people would say to me, Nerida, your standards are way too high. This is why you're not getting a partner. And I'm like, mate, if my standards are too high, I'm okay with that. I ain't dropping my standards to having that experience ever again. And so that kind of sent me on a a little bit of a dig, we can call it, into relationships and what it is that influences the dynamic of relationship and our experience of that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask a question about that to get you to clarify? If you're saying that your standards were high and your, is that not still you putting that on them?
So my standards were high as far as the type of dynamic that I wanted. Mm-hmm. So when I was looking at manifesting my partner, it was very much around what values do we share, what activities do we love, how does he relate to my kids, what's our dynamic like sexually, around what's our dynamic like in the household, things like that. So mm-hmm. it was more like how I experienced the relationship, not... It wasn't like definitely not like, you know, he needs to be 6'2" and have blonde hair, blue eyes, and blah, 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 and have this job and earn this much money. Like, it was none of that superficial stuff. Right. It was more around how do I want to feel in the relationship.
Right.
And there was a number of people who were like, that's unrealistic.
Right. Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I think that's an important clarification.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not necessarily about them. It's about where am I in this? Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, it's still the responsibility is on them to change or be different or whatever.
No, well, and I think the biggest piece to understand in this is that your intimate partner is a direct reflection of your unconscious mind, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so anything that's showing up in them or that is activating you in them lives within you, right? So in order to unpack different conflicts, you've got to look within.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you're always going to be out here pointing the finger and never resolving the thing that's creating the issue, which is actually within you.
So how did you do that? How did you go in and go about creating that and taking that responsibility and understanding that it wasn't about the other person, that it was about you?
First, I found out, I researched everything that I could around how to understand how I love and how I receive love and how other people receive love as well. So love languages was a big piece for me, understanding different strategies around specific relating, but really, really deeply knowing what it is that lies within me that helps me to feel certain ways. So understanding my values. I know you guys talk a lot about values. Understanding the different avenues to experiencing my values, really getting clear on all of that. And then also understanding the masculine, feminine energy within us and so how important that projects out into our reality, not just with our intimate partners, but into our career, into our relationship with our friends and family and stuff like that. So, and then I personally feel like your life is your greatest personal development workshop that you'll ever be on. So learn how to understand it and learn how to reflect it back in. So classic example, when I first started dating Adam, my current partner, he was like, I was getting really activated around the fact that I felt like he wasn't fully in.
Right.
Right. And so I had a story that said if he was fully in, it would look like X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And he wasn't doing X, Y, and Z, right? There was absolutely zero control from him towards me, and because control had always been such a high filter in my relationships, it was like he wasn't loving me because it had always been justified through love.
Yeah.
And so there was none of that going on, and I was like, he's just not that into me. Like, he's not committed.
Because he wasn't trying to control me.
And so, which is a big one. We could go down another rabbit hole on that just alone, but what I did is I kind of sat with it and I just had to ask myself some more powerful questions, right? So what specifically is activating you? What specifically is the issue here? I don't feel like he is fully committed. Okay, cool. He is the reflection of my inner masculine. Where is my inner masculine not fully committed? Where am I not fully committed in the space of my masculine world, which is my outer world, right? This is where I contribute. This is how I penetrate life. So for me, I had to look at, and what came through to me was that I wasn't fully in my business.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't fully committed to my business. I wasn't following through with my business, and I wasn't showing up completely there.
Right.
That's the remedy.
Yeah.
So now the focus point goes from he's not giving me what I want to I'm not giving me what I want, and this I can control.
Yeah,
right.
And he doesn't need to change. He's perfect, whole, and complete, exactly how he is. Yeah. And if you know, and that's fine. And so we need to just let him be like that. Obviously, as long as it's not creating other issues. But the my focus point became, right, what am I actually going to do about my business?
So you're using your relationship as a guide to your own inner work, 100%. As a guide to you saying, right, this is how I'm experiencing life in my partner or in your relationship with your kids or your relationship with someone else. It doesn't matter. But let's talk partner specifically. So this is how I'm experiencing life with my partner. And what I think I'm missing out on here is actually trying to show me what I need to look at here and how I can actually do my own work. 100%. Right? So talk to me about the masculine and feminine and what you've learned about that. Because I've done a little bit of research and study on it, but I'd just like to hear how you see that and how you see the roles particularly.
Yeah, so the masculine and feminine, like if we look at the, you could unpack it a couple of different ways, but if we look at the internal experience of the masculine and feminine, you've got a dynamic going on inside of you between the two of them, right? So the feminine is very much your creative, your free flow. She's very emotional. She, you know, she can also be Carly, right? She can burn the ground if she's let loose completely. But it's a very gentle kind of easeful flowing, I don't really want that much structure kind of space. And anytime I sit into the feminine, when I know I'm in my feminine, it's because I'm swaying. It just stimulates a movement in my body.
Mm-hmm.
The masculine, and it's very internal, so it's a very internal experience. The masculine is very external, penetrating, where we're taking action. It's very linear. Things happen in a certain order. Do you know what I mean? And so it's a lot more structured. It has the box. So one of the ways it was explained to me that I love is that the feminine is the water and the masculine is the bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? If you take away the bowl,
yes,
you just have a puddle on the floor.
That's a really good explanation of it, actually, because as you were talking, one of the things the feminine needs is it needs that space to be held. Do you know what I mean? And a bowl is a great example of that. Like it needs the stability structure of the masculine.
Yeah.
But I like how you say that it's actually the internal. So it happens within you. It's like it's not just in the relationship. It's going, what part of you is that masculine part and the feminine part, and how is that?
And who's in charge
as
well? And so one of the deep dives I did around my own feminine masculine was after I did psychosomatics, because within that space you do, you can take a photo of your face and then split it in half and mirror it and actually get a picture of your masculine or feminine face.
Right.
Super interesting. And so when I went into it, I had already done a lot of work around tapping back into my feminine, getting back into my flow state, feeling safe in my body again, feeling safe in my environment again. And so when the face splits were up, I was a little bit egotistic.
Right.
It's not so unlike me. And I was like, oh, this will be interesting. And so the feminine image was like this really clear, light, angelic being. And I was like, oh, done my work, right?
Yep.
Looked at the masculine, and he looked like a troll under the bridge because I had just suppressed him and put him down and was still so fearful around actually trusting in my own inner masculine. And so what I had to do was actually reestablish relationship between the two parts of myself in order for me to be able to relate effectively with other people as well.
How do you do that?
Because I
know, like, when you say that you put him down and stuff, the masculine, it's like kryptonite to a man to be critical and to be so to be doing that, obviously, to that masculine part of you it has the same effect as if you're doing it to an outward person. So how do you work that out? Like, how do you balance that out within yourself?
But just before you go there, you said earlier the water without the bowl is just a puddle.
Yeah.
So you were seeing, okay, so then what's the bowl without the water?
It's empty.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so you're saying then that the water helps the bowl feel full.
Yes,
is that
absolutely.
Right? Okay.
That's the job of the feminine.
Right.
The job of the feminine is to support. The masculine needs support in that way, but the feminine needs stability and safety so she can just be in flow.
Yeah.
The masculine, without the feminine, it feels lost, doesn't know how to direct itself. So it needs that support of the feminine to be
one of, one of the ways that I like to see it as well is it's like a man for a woman, or the masculine for a feminine, grounds. It brings us down out of our head and into our body because we are very heady, right?
Yeah.
It's just a million miles an hour for women. And we don't have an empty drawer.
Right.
Men have an empty thought drawer. I have so much envy around the empty thought drawer, just saying. But so the masculine will ground the feminine. The feminine brings a man into his heart.
Right.
And that's where you have the inspiration and love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Was the question then? Where were we going? The masculine. Oh, balancing it out.
Yeah, balancing
inside of yourself. Yeah, like I can understand outside of you, but how do you do it? Where do you see to do it?
How
inside?
I did it. I can tell you how I did it. There's obviously many roads that lead to Rome, right? And finding one that suits you. But for me, what I needed to do is actually reestablish relationship, because it wasn't just my relationship with the kid's dad that had suppressed my masculine. It was the relationship with my own dad that had suppressed the masculine.
Right. Fair, yeah.
Right. So it had stemmed back from a while. Yeah. And so I wanted to reestablish relationships. So I literally sat and had conversations between the two of them every morning. And so if you look at the needs of each of them, if you can help to cultivate meeting those needs within yourself through dialogue, you can start building trust again. And that's what creates the separation, is a lack of trust. And so, you know, a man or a masculine's number one need is to feel appreciated. A woman's is to feel heard. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Our impulses are slightly different. A man wants to provide, a woman wants to please. But the needs is really around, for a woman, she needs to feel heard. So what I would actually do is sit into my feminine and I'd ask, okay, what do I want to do today? What is my desire? What is my deepest desire? What would I love, absolutely love to do today? And just write a list of all the stuff that I wanted to do. And it could be far out, it could be strategic, it could be whatever, right? What would I love, love, love to experience in this day? And then I would kind of close that space out, sit into my masculine. How I know I sit into my masculine is my back becomes really erect, which is funny, but that's how I know I'm there. And then the masculine can then look at that list and go, okay, practically. Let's organize this. Let's create some structure around it. Yes, no, yes, 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 yes. We can do this tomorrow, whatever, yeah, right? Yeah. And organize it properly. And then you just go, okay, cool, close that space out. And then come back to it later in the day, in the evening, and actually sit in the feminine and look at all of the stuff that the masculine helped you to achieve. Because the doing is the man. The doing is the masculine, right? And so, and actually not just looking at it, but feeling how grateful you are for that experience and for the fact that you might have not actually felt in that moment to do that, because the feminine just wants to follow her feelings in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the masculine is the one that will push you through and actually do the thing.
And therefore, that gives the masculine the appreciation. The checking back in gives the masculine the appreciation.
Exactly, and literally verbalize that. So I would sit into the gratitude of it and literally verbalize, thank you so much. I appreciate the fact that you pushed me through, and I'd speak to the specific experience.
Right.
I appreciate that you actually did that thing, and I'd go through the list, every single thing. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Right.
What do you think about a female who's more in their masculine, or a man who's more in their feminine?
Well,
as in, like, I'm not saying that it's a good or bad thing,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, there can be levels, and it's kind of like that wounded part of ourselves, so we bring the other part up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you say? Is it still the same way to sort of have that conversation and
we're
have
still
that
balancing
connection?
The same way. Yeah. I'll say two things. The first thing is, I don't think we're ever more in one or the other.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
Just that we're more expressing one.
Correct.
Or the other,
yeah.
Right. But the other part is that within that expression, we still want the same things.
Yeah.
Because they're primal.
Right.
Mm.
So there's a part of your brain that can't switch that off, and that's a lot of the communication work that we talk about, right, is understanding those primal impulses that you can't control, and how do we actually navigate with them and through them and utilize them. And so these needs and those desires are the same. It's primal
being heard
impulses,
and being appreciated,
correct?
Right.
Yep. And so we all have that need, and so you can still work with it in exactly the same way.
So I think then the key there is that what I'm hearing is that if you want that out there, the place it's got to start is in here, which is everything that we teach anyway.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think it's interesting to understand that, you know, as you, if you're presenting as feminine and you're a female, then you just imagine that, you know, you're looking for the masculine out there, but no, the masculine isn't out there, it's in here, and vice versa. So you've got to be able to do those parts.
You can feel that in people, right? If somebody's at one of the extremes, you can feel it in it. It doesn't feel balanced.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found really interesting is, after I've been doing this work for a long time, people actually started commenting to me, you feel like you're in a really, like, really deep feminine, and people actually started commenting more on my feminine when I had balanced my masculine into it, because instead of been flighty and chaotic.
Right.
And all of these things in my feminine, right, because there was no structure. Mm-hmm. I literally couldn't say the word routine because I was so disassociated from my masculine, it hurt my brain.
Right.
And so when I was able to create that container, what it actually does is it doesn't just hold water, it holds your power. And the feminine power is next
phenomenal.
Level.
Yeah.
Mm. So when you can contain that and then direct it with focus point with the masculine energy behind it, then you can create anything.
I really love that.
Yeah.
Mm, that's really cool. I love that, you know, air people are able to access that sort of info.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to relationships. That was excellent.
Yeah, that's really good. I think I could actually talk to you for another hour about stuff like that, but I think we might leave it there because you're here anyway. We can grab you in one day and have a further chat with you. But I really appreciate that. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate being
out. I love that our people get to have you on the other end of the phone and get to share.
Honestly,
I know how much you love sharing that info, but not just that, but just anything around, you know, empowering people to, like, transformation is an inside job.
Yeah.
So empowering people to, you know, take responsibility and then turn it on to yourself.
Yeah.
And the best way that you can help people with that is through experience, and you've had some of that experience in pretty big ways as well. So,
and I think it's good for people to hear, you know, how much work you've done that's actually been effective. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that they have access to be able to chat with you and be able to get some help with that stuff.
Yeah,
and you can definitely tell, you know, from just talking with you now how much work you've actually done, which is magical. Great job.
Yeah, no, my biggest thing is just keep showing up, keep showing up, keep showing up, keep showing up. When, you know, you're hitting that edge and it's like, why is this not working? Keep showing up, keep trying.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you talk about this as well, that scattergun, like just keep on pulling the trigger, pull the trigger.
Yeah, eventually you hit the target.
Yeah, exactly.
So you keep doing the work, and especially when you're doing the work that's as effective as it is with you guys, you know, like it's simply a matter of time.
Yeah. Mm. I love that. Thanks so much, Nera.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.